Well, hi again, everyone. I'm 1010 Win Sports Director Mark Erne with another special podcast edition of On the Mark. I can't believe it's been 20 years since the 2000 Subway Series between the Yankees and the Mets. I also can't believe how lucky I am to have as my guest today a former manager of the New York Mets. He was very heavily involved in that 2000 Subway Series. He has also since become the athletic director at Sacred Heart University up in Fairfield, Connecticut. On top of all that, he's a restaurateur, the founder of a sports academy in Stamford, Connecticut. And I don't know what he hasn't done in his life. We're talking about Bobby Valentine. Bobby, thanks a million for doing this today. How are you?
Mark, always great to be with you, man. I am good. I am really good. I'm out here in beautiful Texas at the World Series. And how could things be any better than that?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to talk to you first before we get into what's happening with you and the Subway Series celebration that you're doing to benefit the Jackie Robinson Foundation scholarship at Sacred Heart tomorrow night with the guy you went up against in 2000 and the former Yankee manager, Joe Torre. I want to start real quick about this year's World Series because you're there in Arlington. And I saw a photo last night and I'm thinking to myself, unless he is the best Photoshopper ever, which I wouldn't put past you, given everything that you can do. There you were at the game, sitting down the third baseline, it looked like. So what was the atmosphere like? I saw you were in a mask. What was the atmosphere like in the limited attendance there at Globe Life?
Well, it did not have the feel of a World Series game. You know, there was no pomp and circumstance before the game. The crowd, 1,000 people made some noise, but there was no roar of the crowd. But it was baseball being played at a really high level, and I really liked that. And I was with some friends, and Tommy Lasorda, I'm hoping, is showing up today. So it'll even be a greater day for me.
Now, you played for the Dodgers. You managed the Rangers. You managed the Mets. You managed another team at the end of your major league career.
Yes.
Who are you? Are you pulling for the Dodgers?
Oh, I'm pulling for the Dodgers. Absolutely. You know, as I mentioned, you know, I played for Tommy Lasorda and I signed with the Dodgers, and I'm friends with some of the owners of the Dodgers, and they haven't won since 1988. And, you know, the last time they won, Tommy Lasorda was the manager. So I'm hoping that at 93 years old, he can get on the plane today, fly in from L.A., be here when they win their next World Series. And I think that would be a really good thing for him.
Yeah, well, they got off to a really good start last night. Mookie Betts had just a phenomenal game. Clay Bellinger had a home run. Clayton Kershaw finally pitched a really good game in the World Series. What was the most impressive part of last night for you?
Well, just that Mookie got it turned up. You could almost see it in his body stature, you know, his body language. He got on first base and he looked like he was ready to just take over. And when he stole the base and started running the way he did and scored on that run, I looked at the guys I was sitting with and said, you know, he wants to be the MVP of this series. I think he will be.
Bobby, how is it possible that it took 108 years for another team to have three stolen bases in a World Series inning? I saw that stat this morning, and it blew my mind.
It's really a really amazing thing that, you know, Earl Weaver was the first, you know, to kind of get on the soapbox and say, you know, I don't like the stolen base because you might throw away an out and I only get 27 outs and they're a precious commodity. And then, you know, as you started getting into the cyber world and the sabermetricians started looking at things in the rearview mirror, they started thinking the same way, that this stolen base is a bad idea, that it has a chance of doing something really bad, but it has a chance of doing something really good. And you know, the two pitches before Mookie stole the base threw the pitcher off just as much as the pitch that he went the base on. So there's a lot that you have to peel back the onion with the stolen base to really appreciate it.
All right, I want to talk to to you about this fundraiser you have coming up tomorrow night. It's a Subway Series celebration with Joe Torre, Thursday, October 22nd. Starts at 7 o'clock virtually, of course. It's called SHU, S-H-U, and 42. It benefits the Jackie Robinson Foundation Scholarship at Sacred Heart, where you are the athletic director. How can everybody who's listening to us today get involved in tomorrow's event, please?
Oh, I'd love to have everyone do it. You know, we have a lot of people signed up getting front row seats. You know, you go to sacredheart.edu/42. That's sacredheart.edu/42. And everything's there, including a spectacular auction that goes along with the event. You know, Joe Torre was so good to give up his time. He's 80 years old now, you know, and he's Zooming, which is kind of cool. You know, Harold Reynolds and Bob Costas, and we have, you know, voices from all around the sports world coming in and joining the celebration, along with Sharon Robinson, the daughter of Jackie Robinson. So it'll be a really nice event. It's a $20 ticket price. We're asking people to give the $20 or even $42 in honor of Jackie Robinson. And hopefully they'll enjoy the night, bring back good memories for all those Yankee fans and lousy memories for all those Met fans. But they could still be proud of that team in 2000 that you know, came pretty close to winning all of the games that we played in the Subway Series, and maybe give hope to the Met fans that there'll be another Subway Series before long.
Bobby, when Mike hit that fly ball off of Mariano in Game 5, did you think it was going out? Because I still see it today, and I can't believe it didn't go.
Well, you know, that on another Zoom, we did a Zoom with Joe Torre where we had about 10 players from five from the Yankees and five from the Mets, and everyone, Paul O'Neill, Johnny Franco, and Bernie and Posada, and Joe said when the ball was hit, he went, "Oh no." So everyone who saw that live thought it was a home run, and somehow one of those Yankees devils was flying in the sky, and it beat it down and let Bernie run back and make a relatively easy catch than what I thought was going to be at least a very difficult catch.
Yeah. Now, you and Joe obviously have pretty deep ties, not just going through your careers, playing careers almost simultaneously, but then managing here in New York at the same time. And obviously beyond the Subway Series, you guys both played hugely pivotal roles in the aftermath of 9/11. And I'm wondering, do you ever think of over the last 19 years now, how meaningful that part of your bond is to have gone through that experience as horrible as it was?
Oh yeah. We've talked about it often. You know, I played for Joe and he was a Met player manager in 1977. You remember that? Not all of your listeners do, though, that Joe was actually a Met manager and had a really close bond since then. And, the 9/11 horrific situation even brought us closer together, and it's just great that tomorrow night, you know, we're linking up again to do something good. And you know, as Joe mentioned, when I called him the other day, that in 2000, you know, that was the year that baseball was kind of in a normal place, and after that things changed because of 9/11, and here we are 20 years later changing again. So you know, you turn the page and you use different colors to color in the page every 20 years, and we're doing that now.
I know you talked about it's good memories, obviously, for the Yankee fans when you guys get together, and not so good for the Mets fans. But when you and Joe do get together, even virtually now, how much grief does he still give you about that 2000 World Series?
No, you know, he gives me a big sigh of relief. You know, they came into that series with 14 consecutive World Series wins, and he was afraid that they would all be flushed down the toilet if, in fact, George Steinbrenner had to watch his team lose to the Mets. And, you know, that was as pivotal situation for Joe as any. So because I care for him a lot personally. I'm glad nothing bad happened to him. And I'm glad that he got to sit in Yankee furniture when he was in our clubhouse. But Joe took, when I got there in 77, he kind of took me under his wing. And, Lee Mazzilli was the star of the team then, as you probably remember. Sure. And he was from Brooklyn. Joe was from Brooklyn. And somehow the three of us were all Italian. So there was a lot of bonding going on.
I want to ask you, aside from the pennant run in 2000, and I've never asked you this question in all these years, but what are the other handful of memories, good or bad, that stick out from your time managing the Mets?
Whoa, I wish it was only a handful. You know, I mean, I thought everything from the relationships, that I established with the players, and they were such great players, to the 9-21 game, of course, first game back is always a memorable one. At the beginning, with Todd Hundley setting a home run record for catchers before Mike Piazza became a Met. When Mike Piazza did become a Met, the 1999 team, that entire group of guys and that entire season was spectacular, with John Olerud and Edgardo Alfonso, who called me yesterday, and the emergence of guys like Rick Reed from out of nowhere, and Glendon Rush and Turk Wendell. I mean, it was more about the relationships than it was about the games. And I have them both. I could go to Baseball Reference for the games, and I could get on the internet or pick up the telephone for the relationships. And that's what makes it special.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that you're somewhat close to the ownership with the Dodgers, and that sort of leads me into my next question about the Mets, because there is a change in ownership brewing with Steve Cohen coming in. And I know that you worked under Fred and Jeff and Saul. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the change in ownership that's coming any minute now.
Well, I'm happy for everyone. I think that, Jeff and Fred were such loyal owners and custodians of that franchise, that they're getting a wonderful price, and they're still healthy enough to enjoy life moving forward. Steve Cohen's wanted a major league team for quite a while, and he has the wherewithal to handle it. So I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for the Met fans, because I just think that they got into a rut and blaming a lot of the things on ownership that were going on. And I think they could get out of that rut and feel good about the future. So I think it's a really good thing.
All right. I know you've been the athletic director up at Sacred Heart now for a little over 7 years, and I've seen you up there. Ran into you when St. Francis played your Pioneers in basketball a couple of seasons ago. I missed you when we were up over the winter before the pandemic for men's volleyball, the historic first ever Terrier men's volleyball match. It was a Friday night, and I knew in a million years that I'd never find you in the gym on a Friday night after working all week. But if Sandy Alderson, who's coming back to the Mets as their president, were to call you and say, "Hey, V, we need a manager. Are you leaving Fairfield and walking to Flushing, or are you going to politely decline?"
No. I had my 70th birthday in May, and the world of baseball, the travel, the all of managing and being an everyday component of a major league team, I think, is for a younger man. And I just want to see a successful team. And if now that I am 70 and I am a senior, if anybody ever needs advice, I'd probably be a good senior advisor.
Can we campaign for Fonzie to get the gig? What do you think?
Oh, Fonzie is a wonderful person and a great baseball man. I think that'd be a decent campaign. Right now, I just want to see how things shake out, moving forward. Sandy has the keys to the kingdom. He knows the entire baseball world. He knows the entire Met organization. So I think Steve's going to get all the intel he needs there, and they're going to make good decisions moving forward.
And to be fair, I don't want to bury Luis Rojas because he only had one very strange season. So I think Met fans would like to see him get a fair shot at a full year. Let me talk to you, please, about life in Fairfield. As an athletic director at a Division I school, Bobby, how hard, how challenging has everything been since March when things shut down and trying to get back to normal now here in October?
Well, it extremely challenging. You know, as I told all my athletes repeatedly that, you know, as you get older, you try to find things that you could do for the first time, and you try to find things that you could do that are different. Well, they were handed something that's really different and something that is being done for the first time. And somehow I'm asking them to embrace it. But the fact that a lot of the education you get at a higher education institution is outside of the classroom. And a lot of that has been derailed. And I feel bad for the not only for the student athletes, and we have over 1,000 of them at Sacred Heart University with 3 Division I teams, 19 female teams, and 14 male teams. You know, we're making the best of it. Our numbers of positive tests are way down. Our student body and with the leadership of our athletes are really staying in pace with all the protocols, but it's been extremely challenging, and hopefully the students as well as the faculty and all of us will be able to come out of this on the other side and learn from it in some way and be scarred, because this virus is leaving a scar or two, that's for sure.
Yeah, I asked this next question for purely selfish reasons, but any idea how soon the basketball schedules come out?
Oh, they're being tossed around from the NC2A right through the NEC on a daily basis. We're really close to finalizing what that season's going to look like, but basketball will be played. It is the engine. And we athletic directors, coaches, administrators, right through Indianapolis are thinking of what the best possible way a season can be completed in a March Madness tournament could be back in the world of basketball.
Yeah, I know they're hoping to start, I guess, the night before Thanksgiving, right? Late November. How confident are you that we'll be able to start the season not only on time, in air quotes, at the end of November, but also get to the finish line in late March and early April?
Well, I was really skeptical that baseball could get through an entire season to this World Series, and I'm here at the World Series, so with the right effort and the right planning, it seems like you can get through it. So I'm confident. There's going to be challenges, and all athletes understand that making adjustments is the key to success, and we're going to have to adjust along the way, and I think we'll be prepared to do that.
I'm thinking of floating an idea to the Big East that they should have St. John's and Creighton start the season, because they were the teams that ended the season at the Garden. What do you think?
Well, I don't think there's going to be a lot of ideas that resonate for it to look good. I think that the only thing they're going to try to do is be functional, you know, and have games played and have the student athletes in a safe environment. But that's a good idea. I think you could throw it out there because it's still in the planning stages.
There we go. Before we wrap up, and again, I can't thank you enough for spending a few minutes with us. Your sports bars and restaurants, Bobby V's, two locations now, right? Stamford and Windsor Locks out near the airport, Bradley Airport.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah.
Still doing well?
Yeah, they're both open. You know, I mean, it's hard to think that this year we're saying we're doing great, but we're open, and most of the employees have been employed, and the customers that have come in are having a good time, and again, the protocols are something that we're we're really, really trying to keep in place. And when it's all over, we're going to have a full house and a big party. That's for sure.
All right. And tomorrow night, it's a Subway Series celebration. Bobby Valentine and Joe Torre. It benefits the Jackie Robinson Foundation Scholarship at Sacred Heart University. It's called SHU, S-H-U, and 42. And let me just make sure I have the information correct. sacredheart.edu/42, right?
You got it, my man. And the auction is with Collectibles X, and that's Brandon Steiner's new company. So if you can't make the event, maybe you can make the auction and contribute that way. And I thank everyone for their support, that's for sure.
And you too.
Thanks, Mark.
I thank you. I cannot thank you enough. Can't wait to see you, hopefully, for some basketball and volleyball and whatever else is going to be going on toward the end of this year. Thanks
Let's
again.
Let's get together.
Absolutely. I'll see you soon, hopefully. Stay well, stay safe, stay sane, and enjoy the World Series.
Stay safe yourself. Thank you, bro. I will. Take care. Alrighty. Thank you, Mark.
I'm Mark Renee. That is the great Bobby Valentine, and you're On the Mark.